Hello, we're on the air. This is Kathy Cook, Bright Lights Pathfinders, and tonight we have an awesome guest star host with me tonight is psychic medium Valerie Renee. She is a clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairescent, empathic, psychic medium, spiritual healer. She's a wife. She's a proud mother of three children. I'm happy to have her with me tonight after a year of trying to get her on the show. She is so busy. Let me give a little bit of feedback about her. As a clairaudience, she has the power to perceive sound, much in the music and voices, not within the known extent of very many human perceptions. Her power of perception of sounds from alien dimensions as well as voices from spirits. Her clairvoyance is one who claims to appear. Many clairvoyants are alleged ability to obtain information in ways that not many are involved in use of many known human senses. She also does many ghost hunts. She also has the ability of seeing auras, which is the vital energy generally invisible to most people. She does a lot of, holds a lot of spiritual retreats. She goes far away beyond so much more than I can even fathom to tell you about. I'm going to introduce her now and let her tell a little bit about herself. Hello, Valerie. You're on the air.
Well, hi, Kathy. Wow, that was quite an introduction.
It's just great to finally have you on the show.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be on.
Glad you've been so busy with so much that it's just hard to get with your schedule. I tell you what, I know that you have been holding a lot of meditative groups, and you've been doing a lot of spiritual retreats, but a lot of ghost hunting as well.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I've gotten very involved in a metaphysical center in the Jacksonville, Florida area. It's called Lifestones Metaphysical Center, and I'm running a meditation and intuitive development class over there. And I'm also starting a psychic kids class over there, which is actually a group that is set up for psychic children and also their parents, families, which something I wanted to do for a long time, actually, because they're, you know, it's close to my heart, because growing up with psychic abilities, in my case, my family didn't understand, wasn't accepting of it. I got abilities that came both from my father's side of the family and my mother's, but I just was not raised with any understanding of what was happening to me. I got told, you know, I don't see a man there, Valerie, you're daydreaming, things like that, and just really didn't have the help I needed as a child. Kind of felt completely out of place, even in my own family, because of it. So it's just something that I've gotten involved in, because children who do have these abilities, they don't always have parents that do, and they need help, they need understanding, and, you know, a lot of parents who haven't necessarily had the same abilities as their children, they really appreciate it. It helps them to understand. And then you also, of course, have children who go through terror because they are in really sticky situations with negative spirits, and there's usually reasons and things that happen within the families, and I meet with these families and I can tell them, you know, exactly what's going on pretty much the minute I meet them and what they need to improve. Then we've got the group that meets together so the children get to know other children like them and realize that they're really not alone in the universe, because when you're a child and you have something like this going on, it is tough. It was a very tough situation for me growing up. So I've gotten involved in that, and, of course, I have three children, as you said, of my own, and one of my children is actually a crystal child with autism, and I also have one of my children is an indigo child. So so pretty much, you know, it's just something that I felt I had to do. I'm also, you know, giving medium readings over at the center and aura and chakra readings for people, and also psychic readings. So that has been keeping me very busy getting involved in this place. But it's enjoyable. So,
well, you remember Plane Walker 777?
Uh-huh.
from the user group rooms that we taught in. We had a radio show on crystal children and indigo children before, previously, but you might want to touch base with the listening audience, the active audience, about what an indigo child is and what a crystal child is.
Let's see. An indigo child, usually, of course, the reason they call them an indigo child is because their aura tends to be, you know, the indigo purplish-bluish color. But there are certain things that, you know, usually an indigo child will be, such as they're usually very psychic, profoundly. The indigo children usually tend to have genius IQs. If not, they're usually at least extremely gifted. They tend to be the warriors of this world. There's more of them coming in now because we are going through and getting ready even more so to go through some time periods that are pretty dramatic. So we need these warriors to basically fight spiritual battles for us. The crystal children, on the other hand, are a little bit different. Crystal children are called crystal children because if you look into a crystal and you have the light reflect on it, you see a rainbow. Now, a lot of people think that the crystal children and rainbow children mean two different things, and they don't. Some people call them rainbow children, some people call them crystal children, but they are, in fact, the same thing. The rainbow children are a little bit different in that they don't always necessarily start speaking as quickly as the indigos do. Many of the crystal children and rainbow children get diagnosed with autism because of that. They're almost like halfway in this world and halfway in the other, and that's part of the reason that communication seems to be so difficult for them. But they aren't really here to fight battles as the indigos are. The crystal children are actually here to teach unconditional love. Now, children with special needs, they don't all have autism. A lot of special needs children are, in fact, crystal or rainbow children. A lot of children that don't have special needs coming in are these children as well. But generally speaking, you're going to have challenges if you have a crystal or rainbow child simply because a crystal or rainbow child is the type of child that they're there to teach unconditional love, period. That's not always an easy thing to learn. My son Jonathan is a crystal child, and he has severe autism. And believe me, it is a challenge. I love him, but he can be very, very challenging. But he definitely has taught me unconditional love. I love him without condition. You can't really put conditions on a child of this nature. Now, another interesting factor between the crystal children and the indigo children is that with a family situation, generally speaking, if you have a crystal child, it's very common within a family to also have an indigo child and have them in that same family unit. And the reason that that tends to happen is because crystal children need protection. They absolutely need to be protected. Generally speaking, if you have a crystal child and an indigo child within the same family, that indigo child is going to be extremely protective of the crystal child.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. In the case of my children, I have three of them. One of them has a very yellow aura, which doctors, nurses, those types usually tend to have the yellow aura. But then I have a crystal child and I have an indigo child. My indigo child is my oldest. My crystal child is the middle child. There is a bond between my middle child and my oldest that you wouldn't expect because, of course, he's the one who came in and made her no longer an only child. You would think that would be who she'd be competitive with, but she's not at all. She's very, very almost overly protective of him, and she has been since pretty much the day he was born, whereas the dynamics with her youngest brother, it's typical siblings who don't get along. But it's definitely, as, you know, I have studied and learned about these children. Very, very good book to read particularly for the Crystal Children information, would be The Crystal Children by Doreen Virtue. So I would recommend that one.
Well, that's great that you gave that information out. What I wanted to ask you is, you used to do a lot of, changing the subject just a little bit, you used to do a lot of ghost hunting.
Oh, yes.
Are you still doing that?
I have not been for a while because I've been getting more back into trying to help people through readings and the meditation and stuff like that. So I really haven't been very involved in it as of recent. But there are plans to start getting a little bit more back into it.
Okay. There was also what I wanted to ask you is the ability to hear the spirits, the audience, what the perception. Now, I used to hear in a way of feeling. Now, the words would come so fast that I could not put it into the human concept. And I get foreign words. Mm-hmm. And I have gotten tape recordings of the voices from beyond with my girlfriend Bunny when we would take orb pictures.
Right.
Do you ever get the actual feedback on a recording?
Yeah. I'll try to answer your question and also respond to something else you said at the same time. As far as the orbs are concerned, going to that real quick. The thing about orbs is, even if they are because of spirits, even if intuitively you have had something happen and then it shows up, they have to be of a very specific design, or they can be discredited very easily as being dust, as being pollen in the air, as being moisture in the air, you name it. So really, to be totally honest, I don't put very much into orb pictures simply because it's the scientific community.
Right.
They don't buy it with the orbs. But as far as the EVPs.
Excuse me. We did the testing that you suggested where you spray the bottle and you had all the different suggestions where you shake the dust and take pictures like that to see the different pictures of particles and then compare them to the orbs?
Yes.
Yeah, you want to give out your website right quick so that people will know what I'm talking about?
You mean you took pictures out in the rain and stuff of that nature?
Right. You have that on your website.
Distinguish
between the difference of orbs and dust particles and rain and, or just, different things that were in the camera's eye.
Yeah, I haven't put any stuff about ghost hunting on to my website. I thought about it because there have been some interesting things, but it's just something that I haven't done. But yeah, the best picture that I ever got of some type of paranormal activity was actually at the Spanish Military Hospital in St. Augustine, Florida, and it wasn't that I heard a spirit, it was simply that I felt some kind of energy, and somebody within our group, I was out with JPI, Jacksonville Paranormal Investigation, and somebody within our group was basically taking pictures around me anytime I said I saw something, felt something, heard something. And when I said I felt this energy on one of the beds in the place, he took a picture, and it looks kind of like a figure laying on the bed. So,
it was when her son passed away in a motorcycle accident. And so we've gotten several of the, they almost look like, you know those things that hang over a barn?
Things that hang over what, I'm sorry?
Barn. You know those little emblems that hang over a barn?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, some of them look like that. I mean, she's gotten some good ones. She gets writing in the sky, the alphabets, and she gets some good pictures. And she's had them documented and everything. And then also we get some you know, voices on tape.
But, oh, that's good.
Yeah, I've gotten some very good pictures of actual, they have an angelic figure looking in my home when my dad passed away. And they're pretty cool. So I've got those up on in my photo bucket. But another thing that I wanted to talk to you about that's real interesting is the meditations, how you travel.
The meditation and write about it?
Travel. How you can travel to different places?
You know, I don't do a whole lot of that, but yeah, you can. You can use meditation.
Can you stretch your arm?
I mostly, when I'm doing it, I tend to help people to basically balance themselves. I'm not really one who's big on the astral travel meditations. I've done, you know, I do the past lives and so on. But, yes, you can. You can help people to travel outside of their body into, you know, celestial areas. And
do you do a lot of cleansings of past lives, or have you ever skewed?
Not so much cleansing, more for the past lives, more so just simply taking people back so they can see what some of their past lives were.
Uh-huh.
And when I do, I tend to intuitively try to go with what I'm picking up are time periods that I should with a group, and usually have some pretty interesting results.
Oh, that's really great. Do you foresee the events that are getting ready to occur with a meditation with a person?
Do I what?
Do you ever foresee the events that are about to occur in a meditation with a person? Do you do one-on-one?
The meditations that I'm doing are usually group meditations. When I have done meditations one-on-one with people, it's usually things like to help them clear their chakras. So intuitively, I do know where I need to focus more within that. But the type of thing you're talking about isn't necessarily something that I do.
Okay. When you were balancing the chakras, let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
Where do you start? And let's just, I'm not going to talk about anything like as if I don't know anything about balancing chakras, because we haven't talked about that any on the Bright Lights Pathfinder show before. So let's that's a really interesting subject, balancing chakras, because that's real important to stay balanced and
right.
Get peaceful point of view. How would you start as if you were starting a class in balancing chakras?
Okay, well, let's see. To try to make this as simple as I can, you have seven energy centers. They start at the base, which is down at your, basically your lower genital area, and they move all the way up, basically your spine, and the top one being at the crown of your head. Each of your seven energy centers have different emotions, different feelings, and so on that are attached to them. Whatever's going on within you emotionally actually has effects on your spiritual energy, because, of course, everything is a mind-body-soul connection. So if you're having emotional difficulties, those difficulties will show up in your chakras. For example, your base chakra is actually about your connection to everything physical. The color of it is red. I would have them visualizing this, but if I was working one-on-one with somebody, I have something, and it's not something I could necessarily describe to you, what I actually physically do myself, but I just have a way that I learned through some pranic healing techniques that involves that and involves using my abilities, that I'm able to view people's energy centers. And when I do this, I can see kind of what's going on through those centers, and pretty much by the time I go through all seven, I know exactly what kind of problems this person has. So if I was working with someone one-on-one and I was bringing them through a meditation, I'm able to focus on that. I did recently work with a lady and do this, and you're able to, through the meditation, try to talk them out of the problems they're having, try to get them to get over those problems. If I was doing the chakra meditation with a full group of people, I would keep it very much more general, but as I'm going through each center, I would say something about letting go of the fears that would be attached with that chakra. For example, if we're working on the heart chakra, everything surrounding the heart, it is the center of all the centers. It is the most important energy center overall because of that. And everything having to do with the heart chakra is based on love. So you want to talk people into letting go of resentment, letting go of fears of loving, allow themselves to love, allow themselves to forgive, and so on. And by doing this and by letting go of all of that, they let go of pain, too. Because, of course, when you go through this emotional and spiritual pain, and it gets down to a level where it's affecting spirit, you usually end up starting to have chest pains, aches and pains there, too. If you're having problems with a lot of headaches, well, then you may be trying to, for example, block out something that you should know or something that you should have already seen or realized. And if you're trying to keep these types of things out of your mind and not see the truth on things, well, you may end up with some pretty awful headaches, too. So, you know, these are just different things, and it varies from person to person.
Well, that is so interesting to know. The balancing of keeping one foot balanced and then one foot, you know, I've always heard keeping one foot on the ground at all times, you know, while you're doing your travelings and your meditations, if that makes any sense. Like people tend to be, want to just get all the knowledge that they can really quick. And be spiritually awakened like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it tends to make people off balance. So the root of grounding themselves like a tree, per se.
Right.
The feet. And then moving upward through that way of the chakras. You start at the feet. When you're cleansing, or do you start at the groin area?
Well, no, not for the seven chakras. Like I said, the base chakra actually starts in the genital area.
Uh-huh.
It's not necessarily the same thing as grounding. Grounding, yes, if you're generally speaking, if I'm doing a chakra reading and cleansing on somebody, no, I wouldn't be trying to quote-unquote ground them per se. But if we're doing a meditation, I actually go through a different process using a white light technique and, of course, remind people during that to bring that white light into the ground as well to ground them. But, yeah, a lot of people use the, you know, feel as if you're a tree, feel your roots grow into the ground. There's many techniques for doing the grounding. But, no, it's not the same thing.
Okay. What about the white light? Everybody hears about the white light, or so many people. We have new listeners a lot out there that are just now tuning in for the first time to BBS Radio. The white light, people hear the white light all the time, and that is like the God center is what I call the white light, and the purification and the center. Do you have any other suggestions of what the white light would be called or represent to you?
Well, to me, white tends to represent positive energy, whereas, of course, black would represent more the quote-unquote negative energies. When I see or perceive a spirit, I say about 90% of the time, if they're white, I can perceive them as being good, and that's usually the case. If they're black, I can perceive them as not being so good. You know, it's generally speaking, that's, you know, one of those things that, yeah, the white is something that tends to be a more positive thing. For me, when I start a meditation, I have people start the white light at their heart and bring it out through their whole body, because, of course, that white light will help push out all the negative energy before I get them started on anything else in a meditation.
Oh, that's great. Would you like to take some call-ins?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Would you like to take some call-ins?
I guess we could.
From some callers, can I give out the call-in numbers? Would you like to have some callers call in?
Sure.
Okay. BBS Radio, Bright Lights Pathfinders, guest host, the star this evening is Valerie Renee, psychic medium, clairvoyant, clairaudience, Sid. She's able to ask, you call in and ask her any questions that you want. She is also a gifted reader, but I don't know if she's going to give any readings this evening, but you are welcome to call in. The call-in number is 877-876-5227. You can go to your own station one, and you can look up the other call-in numbers there. And she is open for any question and answers at this given time. That's great. What is your knowledge on, do you ever use any type of herbs or what is your input on herbs or any type of holistic type of medicines?
What is my input on holistic medicines? Is that what you said?
Like herbs and...
honestly, I can't say that I'm really that big on or know very much about herbs at all. That's not really one of my areas of knowledge. What was that?
Mine either. That's why I was asking.
Yeah, I wish I could tell you, but I just, it's not something that I have any knowledge on, so.
I was just wondering.
I mean, I know that they're helpful to a lot of people, but I personally don't even take any, so.
Yeah. Well, another thing I was going to ask you is the force of energies. Do you feel that, like the cosmic life force and the forces of energies, when you get into a force field of another person's, you know, not just the personal space, but when I get around a certain person, I can feel almost and see their auras immediately if they are good, bad, or indifferent for me.
You can see their auras.
If it's like a warning zone.
Okay. Well,
I went to the eye doctor a long time ago and said, something's wrong with my eyes. It was crazy when I was years ago.
Mm-hmm. You know, I do know people who are like that, but in my case, it's not necessarily the way it is. It's more of a, there's,
You have a caller,
Val. I just know. Oh, okay.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Janice Sullivan.
Excuse me?
Janice.
Hello.
And Valerie had gave me a reading a few months ago. I had lost my twin sister. Do you remember me?
I can barely hear what's being said. Oh, my goodness.
Could you speak a little bit louder, please?
Yes, Janice Sullivan. And Valerie had gave me a reading several weeks ago. I had lost my twin sister. And I just want to let her know that she was really great.
She said her last name was Sullivan. You gave a reading to her about her twin sister and that you were very great, Valerie.
Oh, well, thank you. I wish I could say I remembered it. I do a lot of readings, and I have this thing that, you know, usually the best readings are the ones I don't remember. It's like you do them, and because it's not yours or because it's you're channeling and you're only half there, you don't end up remembering. That's kind of how I think it is for most mediums, but I'm glad it helped you.
You sure did. You told me she was with me all the time, and I feel that she is, and I just want to let you know that I really appreciated it.
Did you hear, Val?
I'm really having trouble.
She said that she was with her all the time, and that she knew that she felt her now, and that you brought her to more closer, right? And that she really appreciated it.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
If you could pull your mouth away from the phone a little bit more, Ms. Sullivan, then that would help a little bit.
Okay, is this better?
That's better for me. Is it for you, Val?
Maybe slightly.
Seth, can you help us out a little bit?
Ma'am?
Well, is there any questions you have for Val?
No, I just want to let everybody know that she was a great reader and medium.
That's so great for a validation for Val. She said she just wanted to give you a great reading, Val.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad it helped. You know what? I do remember it now. It's coming back to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because
you'd only been there 2 weeks.
I wasn't actually planning to do any readings, but I think your sister was coming through pretty strong.
Right. She had only been dead 2 weeks when you gave me my reading.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. You said when I come in that room that you knew that you had to talk to me because she was pestering you or something.
Yeah, well, I'm so glad it helped you.
It really did.
Yeah, okay. Now, I'm sorry about that. It just, like I said, I do a lot of readings, and your memory tends to only be there long enough to get through the reading, and then it usually fades. But I do actually remember, because I remember being in, I believe, a chat room, and you came in and said something about it, I think, and she was like right there saying, tell her I'm here, tell her I'm here, tell her I'm here. And I'm like, uh-oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, like I was telling you, she had experienced a life and death experience herself just a few months before that. And I know she believed in the afterlife and the spiritual, and I know she would contact me. I just know she would. And she did.
Yeah. I'm glad it helped you.
Well, I just wanted to thank you. That was it. And let everybody know that you're really what you are.
Valerie. I am really. Yes?
I love Valerie to death. We all do. We appreciate so much, Valerie. And all
that
you give out to the world.
We appreciate you,
Ms. Sullivan, for calling in.
And thank you, too.
Thank you very much. Call in again sometime.
I will.
Thank you for listening.
Ma'am.
Take care now.
Well, thank y'all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I wish I could have heard her better.
She said that was really difficult. She was in more contact with her sister now because of you.
Is that what she said?
It was her twin sister.
Oh, good.
Miss Sullivan, I couldn't catch her first name.
Yeah, I was really having trouble telling what she was saying at all.
Would you like to tell the listening audience how to contact you and where your web pages are and how you have a group room and such?
For people who are local, the Psychic Kid thing and the Spiritual Awakenings Meditation Group can be found through www.meetup.com. My website, it's www.meetup.com. Meetup.com, yeah. But my website is www.psychicmediumvalerie.com.
And that is posted on my profile page, right?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
It is.
If you go to Bright Lights Pathfinder's profile page, then both of Valerie Renee's, MySpace page and her web page is posted there. You can click on that. But also, you have a group reading room, don't you? That you open up sometimes?
Yeah, occasionally. I haven't been a whole lot lately. I've actually been going into someone else's room when I do, and I rarely, rarely get on into the chat rooms to do readings. But yes, I actually do have a room crossing over with Valerie Renee. On
okay.
Talk.
Well, we met, gosh, how many years ago? Back in the user rooms, when they were user rooms that we had in Yahoo. And we used to could do it back then, but now we just mostly do by phones and stuff. But tell me a little bit about the spiritual retreat that y'all have going on now.
You know, you mentioned spiritual retreats, and to be totally honest, I wasn't quite sure what you might have been referring to.
But the metaphysical, groups that you go to.
The center that I am doing some work out of, the Life Zones Metaphysical Center in Jacksonville, Florida. I know that they are planning a big retreat, I believe in 2010. They're January of 2010, I believe. They're planning on doing some huge cruise where we're all going to go out there. We're going to teach some classes and so on. We're going to have people, and the theme is actually going to be 2012, and all of the 2012 theories will be involved. But we're going to try to have some experts on the 2012 stuff out there, and that's about the only retreat I really really know any information on, and it should be very, very interesting, but obviously it's 2010. That's still quite a way away.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah. But yeah, as far as the center that I'm involved in is concerned here, we've got it's awesome. We've got people out here doing stuff for mind, body, and soul. And it's going really well. Dr. Sam Pace is the gentleman who runs it, and he's a doctor of metaphysics. He's also licensed in, you know, hypnotism and all sorts of different massage therapies, and you name it. The man does it, and he's the one who decided to start this center and has pulled a group of us together. There's a lot of people out here who do a lot of different things. You know, there's an aromatherapist, I believe. She may also be an herbalist, so maybe I should ask her about the herbs and stuff for you.
Oh, yeah, I would love to.
But, you know, and there's people who are doing, you know, the hypnotism stuff. And I think the hypnotists are actually more the ones that focus on stuff like astral projecting and so on. It's not something that I really spend a lot of time on, but we do have someone here who is a licensed hypnotist, and she does a lot of that kind of stuff. We've got another lady who's teaching a lot of stuff, like the type of stuff that's in The Secret. She pretty much calls herself a light worker, and she's coming over here. She's probably the most awesome palm reader in the world, but she...
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, but she's
you don't
teaching
hear much
people
about those
working
places.
With the light.
You don't hear much about palm readers anymore.
Oh.
No, that's real interesting.
Oh, and you know what? It is. It is, because she read my palm. She read my partner's palm. She's read all sorts of people's palms, and I sat there and I've watched it, and I've been pretty amazed, because some of the things that she says, you would never know that all these little lines on your hands could really tell that much about you, but apparently they can. So I myself am not a palm reader. You know, I tell people about their lost loved ones. I tell people about, you know, whatever in their life that they're asking questions about, and, you know, just kind of stick to the psychic and medium stuff. But it's definitely interesting, you know, stuff like the palm reading and the astrology. It seems like there's truth to it, so it's out there for a reason.
Well, Valerie, you also do some helping with the police department, or you used to help with the police department, did you not?
Yes, off and on I do, yes.
and the lost people, and
yeah.
help locate people that have been lost or misplaced, or so would you want to talk a little bit about that? I love to hear those stories.
Well, see, the problem with talking about stuff like that is you don't ever want to get too deeply into the cases. And, of course, the most interesting ones and the ones that come to mind first are always going to be the ones that, you know, are unsolved. Probably one of the ones that I can get away with talking about that is in the past and everything's already been dealt with is not so much a missing person case. There's, you know, a lot of cold cases and so on, and it takes forever for them to actually, even when they know who's done it, if they don't have a body, if they don't have what they need for evidence, it can be a terrible slow process, and it's something that they usually want you to be very hush-mouthed about. Probably a case that I can talk a little bit on was actually one that I stumbled upon by accident. Went to give somebody a crossing over reading, and a friend came out. And, of course, I won't mention names, location, or anything, you know, even though this is something that's already solved. But this friend came out, and he listed the names of the people who he had been murdered by. And when I told this woman about it, she was like, that can't be. Those are his brother's names. Well, he showed me exactly what they did. He showed me how he was murdered. And I told her, I said, look, they made it look like he was in his vehicle and carbon monoxide poisoned himself in his garage on purpose. But the truth of the matter is, and then they had actually hit him on his head first, knocked him out with the hit, and then put him so it would look like he fell out of the car and hit his head when he fell out after he was poisoned. But the truth of the matter is, it was the other way around. They hit him and put him that way, not, you know, that's how it was. He was labeled as a suicide, and it was not a suicide. So he comes through talking about his two brothers doing this and gives their names, and then he gives his wife's name and says that she was involved in it too. Well, when I told this woman this, she became very frightened at that point that, you know, I had all of these names and all of these details and could talk about his woodworking that he was doing when this was done to him, because he was a woodworker. It was typical for him to be out there at a workbench in his garage doing this, and that's what he was doing when it happened. All of the things I described, I clearly knew too much for someone who, you know, was nowhere near and had no way of knowing. And she became a little bit fearful then. What am I supposed to do about these people? You know, I thought they were friends. And should I confront them? And he's practically screaming to me, no, do not. You know, tell her she needs to take this into the police. There was an officer who never really fully bought it and thought something wasn't right in the first place. I was shown the I don't know what you'd call it, board stick thing that was used, and the understanding he gave me was there's evidence on it because it's still in the garage. Well, she did go ahead and take it, and they did go check it out, and they were, the last I heard, they were arrested for it. You know, but there's so many cases out there. That one, like I said, that one was kind of stumbled upon. The reading intent wasn't to have this guy come through, but he was probably waiting around and looking for anyone and everyone who could possibly get a message through with, you know, just so he could simply bring the people to justice. And there are a lot of spirits out there like that who are actually still just waiting around. Some of them simply want their bodies found so their families can move on. Some of them simply, you know, actually want justice, but when there are situations where there have been crimes involved and, you know, it involves someone's disappearance and death and so on, they're usually very, very quick to come through and very quick to speak.
Oh, man. That is amazing. Do you want to tell a little bit about how you had that hand grab you? In a meditation?
Uh, You know, that one's kind of personal, though.
So, I mean, that was so unique how you got that entity to move away.
Well, it wasn't really me who did. I was literally so upset by it because I'm in a meditation and I felt I was having a wonderful meditation and my guides were speaking to me, telling me wonderful things about my path and my partner's path and the wonderful things that it was planned for us to do together and so on. And I was pretty deep into this meditation, and we were both meditating together when this thing touched me. And I'm not going to get into what it said to me because it's very, very personal, but it was not a good spirit, and I did not like it. And I was not the one who took care of it. He was. And
He
actually took care of it with a lot of protective prayer. I tried to, and it was not working. I was too upset by it, I think.
What do you think when that happens is, okay, we can shield and we can place things around us, but there's these entities out there that do not like to have us to have positive life, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And when a good thing's happening in our lives, there's always those negative entities that want to come along and ruin it. Now, what do you suggest? Now, I place the full armor of the Lord around me, but there's still those entities. And I believe there are a lot of real-life people that just don't like to see people happy. But they're also leftovers from the roots, family roots, that I believe of the old spiritual roots that are leftovers. When we go deeply into a meditation, you know, that just brings up all kinds of things in my past that I'm bringing up that I need to heal. And I believe, let me give you an example of my mother. Now, I think I would mention this to you, that she had, and you had the same dream, remember? That entity that she was in a car?
Yes.
And she saw a black van in front of her.
Right.
And a black entity pulled up and grabbed her in the back. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And you had the same dream with a white van in front of you the same night.
Yeah, it was, I didn't have the entity in mind, but I did find it odd that we both had a similar dream as far as the vans. I had a big white van that was in front of me, and I was driving like I usually do, and this van did something, if I recall. I'm trying to remember the dream at this point. I think it slammed on its brakes or something.
It flipped off the road.
And whatever it did, yeah, I was swerving all over, basically trying to miss it.
That's what she did. And she's had a up and down path since that whole incident until Thanksgiving Day. And then everything cleared up. But, I mean, she had headache after headache and just was sick on her stomach and all kinds of stuff. And, I mean, I just thought that was really odd that you and I hadn't talked in a long time, and then I was telling you about that dream, and you had the same dream that night. That was just really crazy. But what I was getting at about this whole situation is that, well, you know how you hear things about the apples don't fall far from the tree, or, you know, the generations will pass down the seeds upon generations, good and bad and indifferent.
Mm-hmm.
But when I meditate, I get so centered within myself, but I also bring up things to myself that I need to fix. I want to go on and rip the Band-Aid off fast. You know what I'm saying? I want to get to the root of my problem.
Right.
And that I go into several different types of meditations. I go into the meditations of just calming down and just and just saying one word like peace or light or whatever, just to focus. Or I'll go into a meditation of healing, or I'll go into a meditation of trancing myself, or I'll go into a meditation of, you know, like finding out something about myself that I need to work on, and kind of doing a trance at writing, or, you know, just several different kinds. But right now I'm working on blanking out because I'm in overload. But I can't seem to find what it is I'm looking for. Does that make any sense?
You know, it does, because when you go into a meditation, I mean, there's so many layers of the mind that you have to get through. You, of course, start in your conscious mind, which is what we're in right now as the two of us are speaking. You move from there into your own personal ego. And a lot of people, when they want to get answers to things, they get stuck in their own ego and they don't even get any further. Some people can't even get out of their conscious mind, you know, when they go into meditation. But then, of course, you have to deal with your ego, which is kind of a protective layer, protecting you from all those things, you know, within your conscious mind. Like if somebody said something nasty to you during the day, your ego would tell you, oh, well, I'm not really that bad of a person, and then you might feel a little bit better. But then, of course, when things get bad enough and you just can't handle them, your ego goes, okay, conscious mind, we're going to push this back further, and you push things then, of course, into your subconscious mind. They'll pop back up in dreams. They'll pop up in meditation. They won't make a whole lot of sense because they usually come as symbols. And so then you're sitting there going, okay, well, you know, I'm trying to get answers to my problems here, and what the heck was that? And it's not necessarily even the things you're wanting to get answers to. To really get a quote-unquote divine answer, you literally have to break through all of those layers, which isn't necessarily an easy task all the time. And, of course, when you break into and pass all those layers, your conscious mind, your ego, your subconscious, you then move into the superconscious mind. But it's not always an easy thing to do, because you do have so many things wrapping around in your head. So those flashes and so on, sometimes they're simply your own mind. Not, you think you want an answer to something, but you don't necessarily want to know. It may even be you protecting yourself, if, you know, from the answer. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Another thing that I do that works a lot for me is whenever I go to bed with the question, is the first thought that I have in the morning is the answer. But it comes so quickly that I have to grab it really quick. Because it's my first conscious thought in the morning is the question that I had when I went to bed that night.
Well, I don't think that's necessarily your conscious thought. I think that's more something creeping up from your superconscious as you wake. But it's managing to make it through all those layers and back out to your conscious mind. And you're going, whoa, I got that.
Yeah,
that's very, very typical. If you can't always get there in meditation, sometimes you'll wake up in the morning and it'll be the first thing.
Yeah, man. And I think of myself, when I first started meditating, I pretended like my head was a rotor weaver. And I was routing out all the neurotransmitters that fired the synapses, and that it was a rotor weaver. You know, and I was cleansing it. And I was going, because every time I think something, it maps a roadmap, and it just wants to keep, and you know, our subconscious mind wants to please us. And so once we think something, it goes in our head, and it'll go into our subconscious mind, and it'll sit there, and it'll make us turn flips to please us, and we have to get back into control of our subconscious mind.
Right.
And so that,
you know, your subconscious, I mean, you can control your conscious mind.
Right.
That's your conscious. But as far as the subconscious, no, it kind of isn't something
does
you necessarily
its own
have full control. Because you do, it's where you shove everything back to. That's the layer of the mind that everything you don't want to deal with, you pushed into it. And so what your subconscious mind does is says, nope, you know, the situation that you gave me way back, like a year or 2 years ago, that you didn't want to think about, here you go, think about it now.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, something that you hadn't
something
thought about for
it.
A year that really hurt you comes back, and you go, yikes, my father passed away a year ago. I literally pushed a lot of it back and tried to, you know, let that pain go, and I'm like, I'm letting it go, but that's not fully what I was doing. Because when the month of September came around, I started really going through a lot of pain again, and I sat down, and I thought about it, and I'm like, okay. And I realized there were two things going on. I realized something was triggered in my superconscious mind. It was an intuitive thing, but I also realized it wasn't just an intuitive thing. It was something that was also in that layer of the subconscious mind. My father went in for some really, really, really severely strong chemotherapy. He went in September, and it put him in a coma, and that chemotherapy absolutely destroyed his body, and it was the serious, serious beginning of the end. He passed away last November, not the one just passed, but the one before. But that September, that's when everything really just totally went completely downhill for him. And I knew ahead of time, and I tried to tell my parents, don't do this chemotherapy, it'll end his life sooner. But they wanted to listen to what the doctor was suggesting. So unfortunately, he ended up, you know, everything that I knew was going to happen did end up happening, and I wasn't real happy about it. But I tried to push all my memory and all of my feelings about nobody listening to me, about the terrible things that happened to my father and everything away. And when September came, I hadn't really thought, oh, wait a minute, it's been a year. But for some reason, my subconscious and superconscious mind were like, okay, it's been a year now, and you need to realize that, and you need to remember what happened a year ago. And so I was really sad thinking about it, and then one day I sat there and I looked at the calendar and I realized, and literally the day that I had the sad, sad feeling start was the day that he went in and had the chemo done a year before.
Something. Well, Valerie, yeah. We're out of time. I appreciate Valerie Renee, psychic medium, cute psychic, as she used to be known as, being on the show. Thank you so much, Valerie. I hope you join us again. This is Kathy Cook, Bright Lights Pathfinders, and Valerie Renee. Thank you so much, Valerie.
Thank you for having me.
And this is BBS Radio, Station 1, Bright Lights Pathfinders, my year anniversary today. And listen up, tune in, and we'll have a show next week again. Bye-bye.